follow the Holy Ghost, okay? Is it okay? If I'm wrong, well, you know, it'll be interesting. So I got to have some volunteers that I'm picking. So Bob, can you come down here? And then Frankie, I need you to come down here. And then Corey, I need you to come down here. And Bob, stand there. And then Frankie, stand beside Bob's face at the front here. And then Corey, come over and stand right here beside. And then Bruce, I need you. Stand over here beside Corey. And David, I need you. Come stand up here. This is what I saw. And maybe you guys need to spread out a little bit more. That's what you need to do. Because everybody's going to come up here and they're going to... Y'all are there's a word that I'm sure that's better than what I'll use. You are prayer post. You're standing in the gap. You're for people tonight. How many of y'all know people that are hurting? Anybody out here? You know that? Okay, I think we all do. All right. Now, what I want you to do is, and some of you may be in multiple groups here. Okay. So if you know someone that you've really been praying for, it's been in your heart, that doesn't know Jesus, okay? I want you to come over here and stand by Bob, okay? If that's anybody, you really know somebody that is lost, somebody that needs Jesus, and just come, you know. Because like I said, you may get hit with a few of these. And just go over there and stand by Bob, because we're gonna let him represent each of these people in your life. And then right here, Frankie, is anybody you know going through cancer? Needs a major healing. Come stand up here by Frankie here. Just come get around him. We've been on your heart fighting cancer. Okay? Now, you guys are... I didn't pick you because I think y'all need prayer. Okay? So don't... But see, the scripture says, Jesus himself said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal, and then he specifically said the brokenhearted, but to heal, bro, that's why he's there, okay? Proclaim liberty to the captives. Okay, I'm sorry, I've got y'all backwards here, so y'all switch. Okay, so liberty to the captives. Any person that you know bound with an addiction, something that's keeping somebody in bondage, bound with addictions, alcohol, drugs, whatever, Bruce is the representative there. So come stand around them. Now, I worried about this. I had to ask the Lord about 3 times, but he said, you're the person, so don't know. And then it says recovery of sight to the blind. Okay. Because this kind of falls in Bob's category, but then over here, if you know someone tonight that they're just not looking at things right, okay? They're deceived. They're just not, they may be a Christian, they may love Jesus, but they've gotten in bitterness, gotten in anger, gotten in jealousy, gotten in strife, gotten in something that's got them deceived in a sense, okay? That's who Corey's representing there. And then again, Dave, I just saw you, but you're the one who got picked. Doesn't have anything to do with this, so don't throw stones at me here. And the last one he said was to set at liberty those that are oppressed. Okay? So if you know somebody that's really wrestling with depression, really wrestling with some sort of an oppressive something or another, you know, on them, well, then right over here is right here. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to walk by, and I'm going to just anoint the person, and y'all that are around them. And if you want to flow down, if you feel like you got people in multiple categories, it's fine. And you pray, you call out that person's name or whatever. I'm just going to pray generally. So whoever that is tonight, listen, I believe right now miracles are going to take place. I don't know where these people are. I know that you do, and they're on your heart. But I just believe that tonight through this prayer, God's going to do something. Amen. So, Father, I just declare right now in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for the evangelistic anointing, Lord, that's in Bob, but this is released tonight. It goes out into all these people who don't know you, Jesus. People all over the place that don't know you right now, that you arrest their faith. Lord, they have a measure of faith on the inside of them. They have an ability to believe, but for whatever reason, whatever it may be, Lord, I just declare tonight that it's broken in the name of Jesus, and that they can see you, Jesus, clearly, that they hear a gospel message, they hear a song, they hear a, Lord, see a movie, see something that touches their heart, pricks them, that they can't even understand it, and it gets on them, and they get, Lord, like on fire to do something, to get saved, to get right, Lord. Nothing, you'll kindle a fire underneath them, Lord. They will not just sit and say, oh, someday, somehow, or whatever. Lord, you'll move miraculously in those people's lives. Lord, they'll reach out that, Lord, they're going to be calling these people that are praying for them right now. And they're going to be saying, man, I don't know, understand what's going on. And there's going to be witnessing. There's going to be ministry. There's going to be your ministry released to those people right now by the power of the Holy Ghost going forth unto each and every one of them right now, Lord God. They're going to find you, Jesus. And all we give you, we glory in that, Lord. We glory in that. Lord, we just declare right now, all of those that are fighting cancer, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. We rebuke sickness in general, Lord, altogether. And we command people right now in the name of Jesus that their bodies respond to the anointing of God, and that the healing virtue and power of God goes into them right now, and Lord, is released into them right now. That, Lord, that you just begin to just work a miracle in their lives. I declare their bodies start responding to whatever drug they're on, or their bodies start responding to whatever's going on. But Lord, I declare they respond into the Word of God and the power of God and the Holy Ghost right now. Lord, that you go into their rooms right now. You go into their hospital rooms. You go into their bedrooms. You go into wherever they are right now. And that, Lord, I just declare in the name of Jesus that all these people we're standing for, that they get touched right now by the power of God and the ministry of Jesus released unto them right now in Jesus' name. Just released unto them right now in Jesus' name. That you begin, Lord God, just to work a work right in their midst, oh God. Right in their midst, oh God. Lord, we pray for all of those that are bound with addictions. Lord, all of those that are bound in it with addictions. Lord, whatever it may be. Lord, whatever it may be. I just declare it right now. I declare it right now, whatever it may be. I don't care if you call yourself alcohol. I don't care if you call yourself chocolate. Anybody bound with an addiction in the name of Jesus is set free by the ministry of Jesus right now. By the ministry of Jesus going forth into those people right now in Jesus' name. Touching them, setting them free, changing their lives, Lord, changing their lifestyle. Lord, that they wake up and what they've been addicted to begins to turn them off, begins to make them sick. They don't even want it. They don't even like the smell of it. Don't even like the taste of it. Don't like anything about it. And I declare, Lord, there is a spirit of self-control released into them right now. And that they rise up and, Lord, they feel great strength because they have self-control. That, Lord, whatever's hindered them or bound them, I just declare right now, they're set free. Free. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we just pray. Lord, you said that those are blind. They can't see. They're just not looking right, Lord. Lord, I don't know if it's a word that's been spoken to them in life, if it's a something that happened in their life, but something that's keeping them from just not looking right. They're not seeing with their eyes like they should be, Lord. Things are skewed. Things are twisted. Things are warped. And we just declare right now, Lord, that they can see you, Jesus, clearly. They can see your love. They can see your compassion. They can see your mercy. They can see your grace. They see the abounding love of God going to them, Lord God. And I just declare in the name of Jesus, they're set free. They're broken. Because, Jesus, your ministry is released to them right now. People that have had anxiety since they were children, Lord God, are delivered from it right now in Jesus' name. People that have had fears and phobias right now are delivered in the name of Jesus. Set free. Set free. And they begin to see, able to have eyes to see. And they begin to see good. They begin to see you, Jesus, in everything. Begin to see you, Jesus, in everything. See you, Jesus. And I just declare your ministry is released into them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray for all those that are oppressed. Lord, that are discouraged, that are dismayed. Lord, that the enemy has come upon them somehow or another. And we just declare right now in the name of Jesus that the ministry of Jesus is released into them and that they are free. They're free from oppression. No more will they be oppressed. No more will they feel a lack of worthiness. No more will they be lied to. No more will thoughts of suicide be in their minds. No more, Lord God, will thoughts of inferiority be in their minds. But I declare right now in the name of Jesus, your ministry is released to them, Lord, right now. And that the oppressed are set free. Lord, they are set free right now in Jesus' name. And all these people, Lord, that you read, Lord, that it's right now, the light's coming on. Right now they feel lighter. Right now they can sense that something's changed. It's like they walked into a bright room. Because, Lord, your ministry is released into them right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name. Now begin to thank him, church. Just begin to thank him for what he's done. Begin to call that person's name out and just say, thank you, Lord, for touching so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, for blessing so-and-so. Thank you, Lord, for your ministry to so-and-so. Just begin to just speak it over their lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. Just call their names out. If you got multiple people, just thank God for multiple people. Just start thanking him and thanking him and thanking him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Right now. Thank you, Lord, right now. The oppressed are free. The brokenhearted are healed. I just declare it right now in Jesus' name. I declare that, Lord, the gospel's going out to those. I declare, Lord God, that the liberty is coming to the captives. Lord, recovery of sight to the blind. I declare, Lord God, there's liberty to those that are oppressed. And Lord, I declare that 2013 is their acceptable year. I declare this is their year to be free. This is their year to walk in health. This is their year to walk, Lord God, in deliverance. This is their year, Lord God, to just be free, to be free, to be free, to be free. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Just thank him, church. Come on, just thank him for healing those people. Just thank him for cancers disappearing in people. Sicknesses disappearing in people. Oppression's going. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord. Now, some of you tonight, you need to call those people you prayed for. Tell them you prayed for them. Don't do it if you just, I said it, do it if it's in your heart. Check up on them. Pray for them. See what's going on with them. Tell them 2013's their year. Tell them 2013's their year. At 2013's their year. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Now, listen. What you want is the ministry of Jesus. You know why? Because He's always perfect. He's always pure. He's always faithful. He's always just knows what to do. He always knows what to say. That's right. So I want to challenge y'all. The people you prayed for tonight, you gotta keep praying for them till the victory's there. Okay, it's your job to keep speaking, to keep praying, to keep Jesus. Listen. How do I say this? It's not your prayer He's interested in. It's His prayers through you that He's interested in. Y'all with me? So it's not prayer from your head, it's prayer from your heart. It's prayer being led by the Holy Ghost, right? It's His ministry. It's Jesus' ministry going forth. Jesus' ministry going out, right? He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords, and we're His servants, right? So keep praying. Keep letting Jesus inspire you. Like, you got to understand something. I believe the most effective prayer is the prayer that happens, like, all day long. Like, you're going along, and then, you know, boom, somebody comes to your mind, and you stop and say, Lord, so-and-so, you know, I don't know what they're going through, but, you know, whatever. I believe that's the most effective prayer, because you were busy doing your daily chores. You were doing whatever. You weren't seeking somebody to pray for. It popped to you. You see, that's Jesus pricking your heart. That's the Holy Ghost saying, I need you to pray over this person. And then you might stop and say, okay, Lord, before I just go through, you know, 146 scriptures over this person. Do you have something that you would just like? I mean, am I supposed to be praying specifically for something? And then if you get a little whiff and a hint, you know, oh yeah, this is a wrong prayer. This is how you get the prayer. This is how I believe we tort the prayer of God. Tort, that's a word, right? Or is that something you eat? You tort? Stop it? Hinder it? Huh? Isn't that what I said? Close? All right. In other words, you get the inspiration, you hit, and somebody comes to your mind and says, oh yeah, I know they've been going through trouble. You know, I've been looking at them. I've been thinking there's something going on with them anyway. You know, they're a little goofy anyway. You know, Lord, you know, yeah. And then you start off praying, you see, because now you just got it all in your head and you just devise. And the Lord may want to say, you know, they just need grace. They just need mercy. I want you to pray for my mercy to be released to them. You follow what I'm saying? Now you're praying the perfect will of God. And so that's the most effective prayer. So I believe in the days ahead, the people that y'all prayed for tonight, you know, they may come to your heart again and then stop and say, okay, Lord, how do I pray? What do you want me to pray? And it may be, Lord, I just thank you. Your mercy is released to them. Amen. And man, that was the best one because you just prayed just what you didn't add in there. And oh, by the way, Lord, you know, that's what gets us in trouble because then we start putting in what we need to put in or we think needs to be put in, right? Amen. So y'all going to do that? You're going to see miracles. You're going to see miracles, signs, and wonders. Amen. All right. Well, I want to share a word with you. So get your Bibles out. Go to Psalms 107. It's one of my favorite Psalms. And I want to share something with you tonight. That God put on my heart today while I was shivering. Psalms 107, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. We could just go home right there. Huh? I mean, God is good. Amen? He's not bad. He didn't put cancer on somebody. He's not trying to kill somebody. He's not tormenting people. He's not causing car wrecks. He's not causing accidents. He's not causing this. He's not causing that. He's not doing this. He's not doing that. No. God is good. Everybody say God's good. Now look at the next verse, it's all in verse 1 there, but yeah. For his mercy endures forever. Now, it doesn't say his mercy flows forever. It doesn't say his mercy, listen to this. He doesn't say here his mercy, is there tomorrow. I mean, that's another scripture, but. He says his mercy endures forever. So that if something endures, does that not mean it got weathered? Huh? That it got tried? It got. So that means, in other words, when you don't think you deserve mercy, but his mercy endured through whatever you went through, that he still shows you mercy. Hello? His mercy endures forever. Folks, if we could ever just get the revelation in our head that God, no matter what, is not mad at us. That God, no matter what, is not disappointed with us. God is not, having ill thoughts towards us, but God's mercy endures forever. The first thing God is going to show you is mercy. Now, he's going to correct you. He's going to want you to quit doing what you're doing. He's going to want you to stop that because his mercy is enduring because he doesn't want you to keep going down that road and getting in trouble. Right? But it's his mercy that he shows, fresh and new, every day. Number two, verse 2. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So that's you. If you're saved, you're born again, you're the redeemed of the Lord, right? And our job as the redeemed of the Lord is to say, God is good and his mercy endures forever. Hello? Okay. Who he redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Glory. And gathered out of the lands from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. You know, that's what happens to us when we get away from God. Right? It says, they wandered. If you wander, you're not getting anywhere. Right? That's why I never like to go shopping with my wife, because I feel that she's wandering. There's no real direction, because when I shop, I go in, I scan, I look, I see it, it jumps out, there it is, I walk to it, I get it, I walk to the counter, I purchase it, and we've gone. I know wandering. I have direction. Okay? Women, they wander. And so then it makes me think we're lost, because we're wandering. And we're getting nowhere. Okay? Always seems like it's farther away from the car. But they wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. They were hungry and they were thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Now listen to me. When a person stays out of the will of God, or let me say it this way, when a person stays not fellowshipping with God, all right, what's going to happen to them is they're going to become hungry and thirsty, but then after hunger and thirst, comes fainting. I believe there's Christians, I know there's Christians, walking around today that have fainted. They don't have any zeal. They don't have any desire to go to church. They don't have any desire to read their Bible. They don't have any desire to pray. They know if they die, they're going to go to heaven. And they know God's doing something. And they've lost any hunger, any thirst is no longer there. And so their soul fainted. Spirit didn't faint. They're not lost. Their soul fainted. You find Christians like that who give excuses why they shouldn't go to church, shouldn't read their Bible. I can find God anywhere. Their soul has fainted. Now just remember this. If you're going to minister to somebody, you're going to try to help somebody, you got to understand if their soul is fainted, then what has to happen? They got to be revived. Right? They need some smelling sauce. You know, when we played football, we always had why in the kit that the water boy had was smelling sauce. And we used to get that stuff and, you know, swipe one. And then, you know, play around with it. And have you ever broke those ammonia tablets and smell them? I mean, boy, they'll jerk you up quick. And I remember one night I saw, it was a bad deal. When you're playing varsity, if you don't play enough games, you actually can be eligible to play junior varsity to make up because you're only allowed so many games. And so sometimes in a junior varsity game, there'd be a varsity player who was out sick or whatever, and he'd miss somebody, so the coach would throw him on junior varsity that night and play him. And there's this brute, this behemoth person that should have never been on a JV team. And we had a little guy, and I'll never forget it, man. We were standing on the sidelines. We weren't suited up that night. We just traveled to the JV, and we screaming at this kid. The ball's coming right to him. There's a kickoff. The ball's coming right to him. Everybody's screaming, you know, get away from me. Get away from me. Don't try to catch it. Because we could see coming down the field this senior varsity player just coming down the field, and I'm like, he's going to kill him, you know. So we're all screaming, get away. The coach is screaming. Everybody's saying, get away from him. But this kid that moment just saw glory. You know, he knew he was going to catch that ball. And he caught it right as that guy had already launched off about, you know, 10 yards back and was flying through the air like a giant rocket and just hit this kid so hard. And that was it. The ball rolled out of his hands. The guy picked it up and ran for a touchdown. And the kid's just laying there, not moving. I said, hey, he killed him. Oh, my God, he killed him, you know. And that was the first time I ever saw one of those ammonia tablets ever broke and stuck under somebody's nose. And you talk about come alive. He didn't know what had happened, but he came alive when that tablet was broken. He got a whiff, man. I mean, he was out cold and that quick. He jumped up on his feet, still thinking he had the ball, you know. He said, look, it's all over. Go sit down over there. We had to send you to the hospital and do a, you know, an MRI on you, see if you have a concussion. I mean, you were knocked out. He had no idea where he was. That's what happens to Christians. The same thing. The enemy takes them out just like that. Knocks them completely off their feet, and they're out cold. And when they come to, they don't know where they are. And so they're just wandering in the wilderness. And it's up to somebody that loves them or comes across their path to pop that ammonia pill and give them a whiff of Jesus. Because that's the only thing that's going to revive their souls is Jesus. Now let's look at this. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Isn't that good that God, they were wandering, they were lost, they were fainted in their souls, they were no longer even hungry or thirsty, but God was there. As soon as they cried out, he was there to minister to them. Right? He didn't say, well, let me see. I don't know if you're going to do it right this time. I don't know if you're going to cut the mustard this time. No. As soon as they cried out, boom, he was there for them. Look what he does. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Isn't it interesting that the moment that he revived them, he then took them to go be with other people? Right? Or can I say this as a pastor? He took them to church. So you need to be around some other people that are going to fellowship with you. You need to be around some other people that can encourage you. You need to stay in the city. Quit wandering in the wilderness. You need to stay in the city. You need to stay close to me. You need to stay close to church. You need to stay hearing the word of God. You need to stay with people that are going to keep you encouraged, call you, check on you, say what's going on. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he, listen, verse 9 is where I want to focus here. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. He satisfies the longing soul. Isn't it interesting that there's no place, Jesus can't do anything with someone who's not wanting something from him. Right when he went to his own hometown, he says he could do no mighty works because he didn't find anybody had any faith in him. So nothing got done. In other words, he would have done miracles. He would have healed people. He would have done amazing things for people, but nobody was asking anything of him. Nobody was seeking anything. Nobody was longing for him. So let's just put this in perspective. We just got through the holidays. And how many of you ate things you probably shouldn't have eaten? Got a lot of sugar, right? George, you're a bad man. George gave me some fudge. And he thinks he's doing really good because it was in little squares. What does that do for you, you know? The amount doesn't do any good. You know, like you're going to eat one little square, you know? But you know, have you noticed that when you start to eat that stuff, like I don't ever eat pecan pie any other time of the year than Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't know why. I mean, it's not something Laura doesn't make. We just don't, you know, oh, let's make a pecan pie. But it comes up at Christmas. But when I eat it, I love it. I just dream of taking, I don't like even pecans. That's what's crazy about it. I don't even like pecans. But what's inside between the pan, because I love the crust, and that filling, I mean, the pecans, they're just kind of like in my way. I just want the filling, really, in a spoon. Yes, that would be even better. With the crust cooked and kind of crumbled on the top, that would be a perfect pecan pie for me. And I eat it, and it drives me nuts because I can just, like, I don't eat it, but then I do eat a piece, and then I can't quit thinking about it. And then I begin to long for it. And then I eat another piece. But my hungry soul still wants that taste. Are y'all with me? Has nothing to do with, or am I full? That's ridiculous. Right? Nobody says, oh, well, I'm full. No, thank you. No, I'm longing for it. I don't care that I'm full. I don't care that I've had too much sugar. I don't care that my hand is shaking as I'm going for it. I'm longing for it. Are y'all with me here? Y'all getting this? Right? And I can't stop. Finally, I told my wife, throw it out to the dogs. Dear God, get it out of here. I can't stand it anymore. Get it. Go. And so you know what she did? She froze it. And you know what I found? I saw it in there. I said, what is this in here? She said, well, that's that frozen pie from where? So now, you know, since she told me that, I've not eaten a piece. But since she's told me about it, it's like in my mind, I can see it sitting in the fridge. You know, with the I can see the foil and I can see through the foil. And now I'm wondering, even as I'm saying this, I'm driving myself crazy because I'm wondering if it's frozen. What would that be like if you got off a piece and just put it in your mouth and kind of let it melt? Are y'all with me here? See what I'm thinking? As crazy as it is, I'm longing for a piece of pie that I'm just having to imagine seeing in the fridge because I can't see it with my eyes. But how did it start? One bite. Right? One bite. Got me hooked. One bite got me going. It's the same with Jesus. Jesus says, I want to feel the longing soul, but the only way we can have a longing soul for Jesus is we have to taste and see that the Lord is good. We have to have that bite. We have to have that word. We have to have that worship. We have to have that song, that scripture, that something that we took the bite and we got hold of it and said, my God, that Jesus, you're so good to me. And then you know what happens? Then you want more. Right? But the world misses it because they're trying to find Jesus, you know, in a building. They're trying to find, well, yes, I felt so good when I went to the Easter service or the Christmas service or whatever. And they're trying to find it in this experience rather than in their heart. In a daily basis, reading the word and picking it up and looking at it. And say, my God, look what you said here. For the longing. Your longing so you feel. So, we have to, if we don't keep tasting, don't keep reading, don't keep looking, you know what happens? Then we become hungry and thirsty. Oh, I remember when we went to that service and Jesus touched my heart. It was really good. I remember that time. And so we start thinking about what was in the past instead of what's going on in our life today. Then we can only feed so long on the memory of what it did taste like from the past. See, I forget how good pecan pie tastes before as the days go on when I don't eat it because I'm not going to see it till Thanksgiving or Christmas. So I forget about it. And then, I'm going to really date myself here. Bruce's Pies. Hello? You walk in the store. They're not everywhere anymore. I don't know what happened. Bruce must have gone on to heaven or something. Because anybody that made something tasted that good probably wasn't Bruce at all. But anyway. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And you see the little pecan pie, right? You walk by and you see it. And see, I haven't tasted it in a while, but I see it and it makes me look to it. But you know, I never buy one. It's the truth. Because I can withstand it. I know it's not good for me. I know I don't want to eat it. I don't want to get into that. So I see it. I look at it. I think, ooh, man, I used to eat those things all the time when I was a kid. And then I pass it by because it's in a wrapper and I got to go pay for it and whatever. I don't, whatever. So I talk myself out of it, you know. Somebody might have sneezed on it when they made it, you know. I don't know. You know? So I can come up, I can concoct things in my mind to keep me from eating it, right? But it pricks my attention. That's what happens to Christians all along the walk in life. They see the little pie sitting there, see, when they get away from Jesus. And things, he sets things out for them to prick them. To come back to him. But when they don't do it, when they don't eat it, when they don't grab hold of it, and they don't taste it, they don't get back and they don't get their souls filled and they don't wake up from their fainting spell. Y'all with me? I really believe that, you know, a lot of people, I get them, I don't know if y'all do, but you know, people send out email verses, you know, or you know, scripture verses through email, you know, send out just a blanket kind of deal a lot. And at first I was kind of irritated because, you know, my phone would beep, and I'd look to see who it was, and it was a verse, you know. And then there was another one. You know, after a while, you know, it seemed like there was a lot. But I got to thinking about it one day, and I said, you know, Lord, how many people hear the beep on their phone, the ding, the beep, whatever your setting is, and then would look at it and open it up, and they would see your word, and it's just like that Brucey Pie sitting there. Right? Temptation. Eat it. Read it. They read it, and they get a little. Gets their soul back. Because the only thing that works is the word anyway, right? So then, if you're going to keep yourself longing, you got to keep eating. Hello? If you know somebody that's hungry and thirsty, feed them quickly. If you know somebody that their soul's fainted, you know the antidote. You know the tablet to break in front in their nose. It's just Jesus. Break his word in front of them. Send them an album. The New Year's Eve ball dropping New York, you know, I didn't make it to 12 o'clock. I recorded it. And the reason why is I wanted to hear this singer, Sarah Brightman, sing, because she's an opera singer and really amazing, and I wanted to hear what she was going to sing to a million people. Have you ever thought about that? If you had a microphone for just a minute, what would you do with it if you were going to be able to speak to a million people? You know, I'm a preacher. I think about things like that. So I wondered, and you know, the last song she sang was Silent Night. And I thought, Laura and I were just amazed. Just listen to this. You know, it's going to a million people. Silent night, holy night. Singing about Jesus. And I said, praise God for her. You know, I don't know what her faith is. I don't know anything about that. But I said, thank God you used that to sing, because a million people heard it. Plus, everybody's listening on the radio. There's a million people there. Everybody, I mean, radio, television. And how do we know? We don't know. What God used that, how he used that into somebody's heart at that moment to get them where they'd be back longing, because God always feels the longing soul, the longing heart. Amen? So, you know what to do. Break the Jesus tablet under their nose. Wake them up. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. Now I've got to go home and deal with that pie.